brings us in the everyday, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Jesus Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
To begin with, let's just say this, the law is good. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 8, the law is good. There's nothing wrong with the law. And we should not despise the law. I know I had that tendency when I first learned about the grace of God. I had a tendency to despise the law. The law was bad. But it wasn't the law that was bad. And I was despising it only because I failed to keep it. But the law is good. And the law defines how we should live with each other. And it gives us boundaries. You don't steal, you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't commit adultery. It gives us boundaries to live in our society. And it also offers us in the law how we should walk to be in God's will. And so there's nothing wrong with the law. The law gives us the moral standards that God adheres to. Not the ceremonial stuff. There's a lot of ceremonial laws in the Old Testament, and that had to do with the sacrifices, the offerings, and the feast days, and so forth. That's the ceremonial law. And we know all of those things were foreshadows, which gave us a picture in the future of Jesus Christ. Everything in the ceremonial law pertained to Jesus Christ. It was the fulfillment of that. But the moral law of the Old Testament, there's nothing wrong with thou shalt not steal. We're told the same thing in the book of Ephesians. In the New Testament, steal no more. It's still the same. God doesn't advocate stealing because we're under grace now. Or any of the other things that you find in the moral law of the Old Testament. The problem is that was not the law, the problem was us. We were the problem. God's law was right, it was true, it was righteous, it was holy. The problem was me. I could not keep the law. And the reason I couldn't keep the law is because I was righteous with Adam's sin nature. Since the time of Adam and Eve's failure in the garden, and they were kicked out of the garden, and they bore children outside of the garden. And in Genesis 5:3, they reproduced after their own kind, which was fallen man and fallen woman. So they reproduced after their kind. So everybody who was born after Adam and Eve's encounter with sin in the garden had an old sin nature, had an Adamic nature, or what we also call the flesh in the New Testament. So it's Adam's nature, the old sin nature, or the flesh, and all of us have it. And we, through weakness and rebellion, those two things, cannot live up to the law because of the weakness of our flesh. And also, if that's not the case, then it's rebellion. So we can't do it, and if we could do it, we won't do it because we'll rebel against it. 1 Corinthians 15, 54, 55. We will not do it. The strength of sin is in the law. So we cannot live up to it. Now, the law is not bad. The law is good. The writer of Psalm 119 confesses, "The law, thy law do I love." He loved the law. He loved the Word of God. He loved what it said, even all of its moral injunctions, all of its moral mandates to man. He loved it. He didn't find them something to despise. The problem was us. So the nature of Christ, of course, and anyone who is born again and has God's nature within him, the very nature of Christ within you is to love righteousness and hate iniquity. So we love righteousness. We love what the law says. It says to do good things. So we don't have any problem with the law being what it is. Hebrews 1:9, loving righteousness, hating iniquity. That's the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. And that's the heartbeat of believers who follow Jesus Christ. So when we get to Romans 7, we see that the Apostle Paul has the same opinion of the law. He does not despise the law, but he understands where he is at concerning the law and concerning the grace of God. In verse 22 of Romans 7, he says, "For I delight in the law of God." So he's not hating it. He's not despising it. He's not blaming the law for his problems. He says, "I delight in the law of God." There's nothing wrong with the law. "I delight in it according to the inward man." In my mind and in my heart, I think the law is great. And what it says, its moral standards, I think those things are great. But I found another law in verse 23. And when we get to the, when we use the word law, we could substitute it tonight for the word authority. Because the law is simply the manifestation of authority. So I delight in the authority of God according to the inward man, but I also see another authority in my body, in my members. Members meaning the members of your human body. I see another authority in my members warring against the law of my mind or the authority of my mind. So with my mind, I agree doing that is wrong and doing that is wrong and I should never do that. And that's what my mind says, but I find another authority inside of me that rebels against that. So I know I shouldn't do it, but I have an authority inside of me that rebels against what my mind says is right. And that authority comes from, as we've said, the old sin nature, the Adamic nature. And it overrules the law of my mind, and it brings me into captivity, it says in this verse, to the authority of sin. So in my mind, I want to do the right thing, but then inside of me, there is an authority that says, no, you won't. I rebel against that, and I war against that, and that authority brings me into the authority, another authority called sin, sin's authority, and I become a slave to sin. Even though with my mind, I wanted to do the right thing, I end up a slave of sin because I have an old sin nature. I'm going to do what I am. What I am is how I'm going to live. And what I am is a sinner because of my old sin nature. The old sin nature is the authority that overrules the authority of the mind and enslaves me to sin. So he gets to verse 24, and he does something very, very beautiful. He confesses that. He enters into confession. And he doesn't give him a shopping list of things he did wrong. He just says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." That's his confession. It's my fault. I'm the one to blame. I'm the one who's weak. I'm the one who's rebellious. It's me. Oh, wretched man that I am. That is my confession. And he puts the blame on himself. And then, of course, he turns it, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" The authority of my in my members that keeps me in bondage to sin. How can I ever be delivered from that? What a wretched person I am. With my mind, I'd like to do the right thing, but I don't. I do not do the right thing. So Paul confesses that he is the problem. And that is a beautiful confession, to confess that you're the problem, and rather than blaming others, excusing yourself, and finding another 30-odd different defense mechanisms to get out of it. To slip accountability, to slip out of responsibility. I did a study once on out of a psychology encyclopedia and found 30 different defense mechanisms, ways we avoid taking responsibility for things we do. There's 30 different ones. I have a list of them at home. And people use those things to slip out of responsibility rather than simply telling God, "What a wretched person I am. Lord, I'm weak. And if I'm not weak, I'm rebellious. And you tell me to do something, and it's not even sometimes I'm too weak to do it, but other times I probably could do it, but I won't do it because I'm rebellious." And that's me. That's my inner man. That's my old sin nature. And what a wretched person I am. That's my confession. Rather than going to my defense mechanisms, I simply take accountability on myself. Honesty and humility is the road to grace. 1 Peter 5:5, James 4:6, the humble, he gives grace to who? The humble. Resist the proud, resist those that rely upon their defense mechanisms to escape accountability, but gives grace to the humble. And so, I thank God in verse 25 of Romans 7 through Jesus Christ the Lord. So Paul declares that only through Christ is victory possible. So in verse 24, I'm the problem, God. Verse 25, you're the solution. And that's how we grow. That's how we move forward in Christianity. I'm the problem, you're the solution. So then with my mind, I myself serve the authority of God, but with the flesh, the authority of sin. But you're the solution. I have a problem. I want to do the right thing, but I don't. I rebel against it, and I do the opposite. I'm the problem, not the law. I'm the problem. You're the solution. And so that's a beautiful thing. So the Apostle Paul also understood that his relationship to the law had changed when he became a Christian, and the law was no longer his judge, nor was it his trainer. He was no longer being trained under the law to be obedient to God, nor was he judged and evaluated by the law, because he was no longer under the law in 6:14 of Romans. He was under grace. So he knew his relationship to the law had changed. He sees the law as good because it reflects God's righteous standards, and that's fine. But I'm not under it. It's not my judge, and it's not my trainer. Grace is. So the first acknowledgement when he turns to Christ in verse 25, acknowledges his wretchedness in 24, turns to Christ in 25, his first acknowledgement is his position in Christ in Romans 8:1. No condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So he first establishes the fact that I understand my position in Jesus Christ too. That there's no condemnation because I'm not under the law. If I was under the law would condemn me. If I was still under the law would bring condemnation into my life and guilt, but I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. Yes, I'm the one to blame when it comes to failure, not the law and not anybody else, and I have no excuse, it's me. I'm the weak link here, and Jesus Christ is the only solution. And in the meanwhile, I'm standing here in Romans 8:1 in no condemnation. So that's the first beautiful thing he says about his eternal position in Christ. Unchanging position, a position that's not hasn't been merited or earned by him through his behavior, but simply a gift from God, your position in Christ here. The moment you were saved, you received that amazing positioning in Christ, which we'll talk about more on Sunday, but you're placed into Jesus Christ. You are placed in union with him forever, and it's immutable, it's unbreakable, and it'll last throughout all eternity. So that's the first thing Paul says. Now over in Titus, if you turn over there, you'll see that because he's under grace, and the law is not his judge, and the law is not his trainer, but grace is his judge, and grace is his trainer.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Tired of raking your mulch back into your garden bed? Or have you replaced wood siding or a garage door because of rain damage? Gutter Guy Seamless Gutters.